India. The headquarters in the United States and the world is now Los Angeles, California. His divine grace comes to us, a Swami from Calcutta in India, and the Hare Krishna movement, as it is known in this country, and I understand in 100 other places in the non-communist world at this point, is a movement to cleanse the soul and make life on earth, as our guest will tell us, a more peaceful way of living. These people believe in reincarnation and many other philosophies, and as many of our listeners will know, it is also a very controversial movement. We'll start for 14, 15 minutes and take it from there. I'll hold the microphone back and forth. And Jim, please. Now, since I'm not capable of pronouncing your Krishna name, I want you to, I'll introduce you as your divine grace and what I said here, that's for the producer, words to that effect, and then I'll ask you to give me your name as the head of this movement. Was there anyone before you that was in the Krishna movement? Are you succeeding someone?
Yes. There is a disciple succession.
Pardon?
Disciple succession.
No, but before you. Before
yes. Yes, before me, my spiritual master was preaching.
Oh, all right, I'll ask you that. Your spiritual master was this name. Yes. Okay.
My spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati.
And was he also from Calcutta?
Oh, yes.
I see, okay.
Disciple succession means that it goes back for thousands of years, passed down from master to disciple.
How long would you say the movement has been in existence?
5,000 years.
Mm-hmm. From Krishna.
Krishna.
Yes. When he spoke Bhagavad Gita.
All right, I'll try to be very careful and we'll do it. And when I start. For more than 5,000 years in this world of ours, there's been a movement emanating from India known as the Hare Krishna movement. We've come to speak with His Divine Grace, the man that is the disciple, the descendant of many that preceded him in the Krishna movement. He comes to us from Calcutta in North America, in Los Angeles, is now the world headquarters for the Krishna movement. Hare Krishna, as many of our listeners know, is somewhat of a controversial form of belief or religion or philosophy because on the streets of America and many other cities of the world, they give their chant and they speak to the passerby, trying to convince and tell them about what they're chanting about, what they believe in, and their philosophy. So His Divine Grace will be our guest for the next few minutes as we chat with him here at this location, and will tell us as much as he can about his beliefs and philosophy. Your Divine Grace, you come to us from Calcutta, and at this point in time, you're on the way back to your home city, and having visited many cities in America, and your world headquarters in Los Angeles, California. I thought, if you will, please tell our listeners throughout this country, this USA, about yourself. And I would like first perhaps to start with the question, help me with your name in the Krishna movement.
Bhaktivedanta Swami.
And of course, that means your name, but of course you are a Swami, which is a counterpart to the highest form of disciple there could be.
Yes, Swami means the master of senses. Generally, people, they are servant of senses. So when one becomes Swami, it means he is master of the senses.
Now, as the head of the Krishna movement here on earth at this time, we understand that you follow many others. As we said at the outset, this is thousands of years old, emanating in India. So you are then, for all practical purposes, one in many, directing the...
Yes, yes, I'm one of them. From Krishna, there are many disciples, branches, just say the original tree, and then there are branches, there are twigs, leaves, flowers. Similarly, we are expanded in various places. And I was ordered by my spiritual master to come to the Western world. So I came first in New York and started this movement in 1966. Since then, it has spread all over the world.
Yes, the work of Krishna is being better known throughout America today. Would you say that since 1966 here in America, you have gained more favor than, we'll say, disfavor in the press and the average person that does not know about the work?
No, I have been favorably received, even by Christian priests. They also like me because I am spreading God consciousness.
In the work of Krishna, we understand that not only are your people vegetarians, you believe in legal marriage, you believe in the home and family, and there are many other principles. Would you outline for practical purposes what the Krishna movement really is?
The Krishna movement is really meant for making the human society a divine culture.
Yes, but it goes, we understand it's from within. The movement itself helps, we understand, cleanse the soul and make we on earth ready for our next dimension.
Yes, that is compulsory. You believe or not believe, as you have changed so many bodies from your babyhood to childhood to boyhood to youthhood, then the old aged man, then naturally next leap is when this body is finished, you get another body and begin your life.
And it does not necessarily mean that you'll return as a human being today. You might return as an animal or some other subject.
Yes, there are 8,400,000 species of life. So according to your desire and according to your activity, you get your next life. That is completely in the hands of nature.
The movement of nature, as you just pointed out, your divine grace, would indicate then that you place your hands in Krishna, which in the counterpart in the Christian world is much like Jesus.
Yes, Jesus appeared as son of Krishna, and Krishna appeared as the Supreme Person, God Himself.
One of the things that strikes us as a very important point that you can, I'm sure, clarify, why is it that the Krishna movement goes to the public in the form of street chants, and why do you not let the movement grow from the so-called conventional type of religion?
Because people are so much forgetful of Krishna or God, they require to be reminded. And this Hare Krishna movement is transcendental vibration. If we chant on the street or loudly, whoever hears this sound, he becomes purified, cleans of the dirty things from his heart. Therefore, we go and chant so that others may hear and may cleanse their heart.
Well, in today's world of merchandising any product, as it were, whether it be religion or any other tangible thing, you certainly excel as far as being vocal. I imagine that throughout America and other places in the world, it's a controversial method that you have problems with.
I do not think so.
Well, what I'm saying, Your Divine Grace, is that when you do chant and when you do have your disciples and students on the street approaching the person that knows nothing about the movement, you're criticized.
They may criticize. Everything new is criticized. But as you have seen, all these American boys, European boys, they have come to me. In the beginning, they also criticized, but by hearing again and again, they have become my disciples.
Yes, you have many disciples, and we understand that by and large, those that are disciples that have graduated from studenthood are by and large a young generation. yours truly and many others in middle age are not attracted perhaps as much as the younger soul.
Because middle-aged old men, they are more sophisticated. And young men, young boys and girls, they are more receptive.
Would you say then the young mind is more susceptible or capable of changing his mode of life? We know for one, in one instance, one disciple that you have was cleansed of his use of drugs, and that's the point we want to talk about. In other words, a younger person is capable of the transition.
Yes, that is in every case. Therefore, education is given in younger ages, not in old ages. I've got experience that in an examination, a father and his young girl appeared. The young girl passed and the father failed. Therefore, the young age is the proper time for taking education.
Now, in your case, you are of at least 70 years in this earth form, we understand, the path that you are trotting here on earth as a Swami, as the head of the Krishna movement, not only in America but throughout the world. Do you feel that your life has been completely dedicated from the very outset? Were you born into the Krishna? Did you...
Yes. Yes, I was born in a family of Krishna consciousness. My father was a great devotee. And from my childhood, he trained me. I got the opportunity for becoming Krishna conscious from the very beginning of my life.
So this has been your lifestyle all these years?
Yes.
Now, we understand, Your Divine Grace, that at this point in time, you as the titular or the actual head of the Krishna movement in the world, you have no successor when you move into another dimension. That from the masses, from the disciples that you have throughout the world, someone will rise to take your place when you move to another world.
Not someone, but so many. Because I'm teaching all the students to work in future. I may die, but the movement will go on. Because all these young boys and girls, they're complete in knowledge of this Krishna consciousness movement. So it cannot be stopped.
Oh, no. We did not mean that it would stop or cease at any given time, but someone will succeed you, but you say many will.
Well, no, why someone, and many will succeed.
Yes, now the growth of the movement in America, as you've indicated, is very great, very rapid. What would you attribute this most to, the enthusiasm, or how do you feel it is, why is it growing?
Yes, amongst my students, the enthusiasm is very naive. So I expect that each one of them will be future preacher.
A teacher, or did you say?
Yes, teacher and preacher both.
And you use the word preacher as well as teacher?
Yes.
Well, of course, one on the outside does not always understand or can comprehend the many facets of what the Krishna movement is, because as one that does not know, we must be objective. And in doing that, perhaps you can tell our listeners some of the things that might be attractive to listen to the person that is approached to the next time on a street in a given city.
Yes, people, give all the books. We have got about dozens of books on this Krishna consciousness movement. So we invite educated class men, philosophers, scientists, politicians to study this movement, why they should remain apart from this movement. It is a nice movement. It is meant for correcting the mistake of the human society. They should be interested. They should read our books and understand.
By and large, we understand that the movement of Krishna is a passive form of religion, and that it is one that is from within. Would you say that you are non-political and non-violent?
Yes, certainly. We are non-political. We are not, stagnant. We are progressive. And it is exactly what you mean by diligence. It is not exactly religion, it is a culture. It is a culture, divine culture, how to make every human being a divine man. There are two classes of man. One is called, according to Vedic literature, one is called a demon, and the other is called demigod. So, so anyone who is not perfectly cultured, he is called demon. And one who is perfectly cultured, he is called a Krishna conscious person or a demigod. And human life is meant for understanding what he is, what is to know, what is God, what is his relationship with God, what is this material world, why one has come here, where he'll go. These things are actually inquiries of the human life, and that should be satisfied. Our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. We are not exactly interested with the animal way of life. Animal way of life means the animal is interested only in four things: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If human civilization is based on these four principles only, then it is another name of animal life. So we should go beyond animal life, try to understand the value of life. That is Krishna consciousness movement.
Then your belief centers around the fact that a human being on earth has more than the so-called creature comforts of life, the mating, the sleeping, the eating.
Yes, comfortable sleeping, that is a mental concoction, because perhaps when one sleeps, he may dream so many horrible things, or he may not have very nice sleep. But a dog sleeping on the street, he may have very sound sleep. So by improving the condition of sleep, does not mean advancement of civilization.
We're having an in-depth chat with the man that is the head of the Krishna movement, originally, of course, in India, now with world headquarters in Los Angeles, California, growing by leaps and bounds, at least throughout the USA. The movement that many of our listeners will soon identify at the close of our broadcast, when we will have the vibrations cast off by some of the disciples that are here with us at this interview time. Many people involved with the Krishna movement that are not involved with the Krishna movement have no idea perhaps what this organization, this religion, this philosophy stands for. And so we've come here to speak with His Divine Grace on the feeling and his thoughts about the Krishna movement. Now, when you make the chant on the streets, they say, Hare Krishna, and we understand that that means hail to God.
Yes, we address Hare, means the energy of Krishna, God. Two things are working. Krishna is working through his energies. Just like the sun, planet, it is working through its energy, the sun sign. Similarly, God is also working through his different energies. So this material manifestation is also creation of his energy. So we are addressing the energy of Lord, that is Hare. And we are addressing Krishna, the Lord, or Rama, the Lord. Addressing means offering something or inquiring something, or asking something, addressing. If I say jinn, that means I'm addressing for some purpose. So this is address. Hare Krishna, O the energy of Lord, O the Lord, please again take me in your association from this material condition of life. This is the purpose of Hare Krishna mantra.
When you define it, your divine grace, it seems rather simple, wherein some people feel perhaps your movement is more complex than you simplify it. We feel that our listeners should know, research gives us the information, that the Krishna movement is free of the drug culture. There is no use of this in the organization whatsoever. There is complete harmony in the life of marriage and the raising of children. And there are many other ramifications.
No intoxication.
And no intoxication.
No meat eating.
And I'll let you continue, Your Divine Grace.
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. These are the four principles of Krishna Consciousness Movement.
When a student, being very realistic, when a student or an average person, whether he be an Englishman, a Frenchman, or an American, decides that he would like to investigate the movement, does he come to one of your temples in any given city? Is he free to enter and go and learn without any restriction?
Yes, anyone can live with us. He's welcome. We have a sufficient place to give him accommodation according to our capacity. We give him free boarding and lodging and give him chance to live with us, to study our books, to study our movement, to hear us, to question us. All these facilities are offered to anyone who comes to us.
We understand also that your disciples or your students live in what is commonly known as a commune, but it is, as you've already indicated, as ethical as it can possibly be.
Commune? What do you mean by commune?
When you have your students and your disciples living in one building, I mean it is divided for the men and the women.
Yes, because we do not allow illicit sex life. Therefore, we advise those who are not married, the boys may live separate from the girls, and the girls may live separate from the boys, unless they're married.
Yes, and we've already indicated earlier in our broadcast that the members of the Krishna movement that do enter into matrimony are done so legally in that state or country where the laws they abide by. Now, I think it would be interesting as we've woven this story about you and the movement of Krishna, we would like perhaps, if you will, in your own voice, give us somewhat of a personal life story as to some of the things you feel that you have accomplished in your years on earth as a human being, and then perhaps, if you will, forecast what you look forward to in the next life that comes along.
Next life, we are going back to home, back to God. That's all.
But what do you feel as a Swami, as the head of this movement, what do you feel other than the obvious, the many that you have converted through students and through disciples, what great contribution do you feel you've given mankind?
Well, the contribution is that every living entity is eternal. He does not die, but he changes his body. This is bhadarisha, to get a body, one type of body. Today I'm American, and tomorrow I'm a dog. This bhadarisha we want to stop.
Do you feel then that you look forward, your divine grace, to what is tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow we are going to Krishna. That's a fact. Because there is a good assurance in Bhagavad Gita that janma karma me dibbam ju jalati tattva. Anyone who understands me, Krishna, perfectly well, the next birth, taktadiham, after quitting this body, he comes to me. So we are giving education to our students to understand Krishna. So anyone who perfectly understands Krishna, he goes back to home, back to Godhead, and gets eternal, blissful life of knowledge. That is our purpose.
Yes, I'm sure those that are with us for this review and this study, this vocal study of the Krishna movement, will perhaps be refreshed in hearing some of the words from their leader, now in the United States, this recording time, heading back to India, where he came as a human being from Calcutta. As we begin to wind up our visit with you, Your Divine Grace, I'm sure those students listening with us on college radio stations and various other points in the USA will perhaps be attracted by your voice and by your own conviction that an investigation of this movement should be considered. But I think before we do that, we might ask you a question or two about your own feelings. You, a man in your 70 years on Earth, you feel that what you are perpetuating through your leadership will help, and this is my question, Your Divine Grace. At this point in time, you know, your disciples know, and your students know, that we are going through tremendous upheaval, from political to war to all forms of disturbances. What do you feel the movement itself can do, if anything, to help correct it?
Yes, this movement can help in every respect. It can solve all your problems, provided you take it seriously.
But I wish you would expound a bit on that. How can the movement really satisfy and overcome some of the defects of mankind?
Well, the defects of mankind is mental disturbance, and mind is so mad that it is always agitated. So if you fix up your business in Krishna consciousness, then you'll feel peace. That is enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita. Three things you have to understand: that Krishna or God is the proprietor. He is the supreme enjoyer, and he is the supreme friend. Anyone who understands these three things perfectly, he immediately becomes peaceful.
Then would you say that those that have joined in your movement, those students and the disciples, have attained this state of mind on earth?
Oh yes, certainly. Okay. Otherwise, how they are sticking to me? I'm not giving them any salary or money, but they are sticking. And you cannot get them back again to other consciousness.
We understand that some of the members of the movement have strayed at times, and in many cases have returned because of their own self-need. Mm-hmm. They've returned if they have left the fold.
I do not follow return.
Well, what I'm saying, Your Divine Grace, is many members or disciples of the Krishna movement who have faltered, who have failed in the work and drifted away, have come back.
Yes, it is practically a fight with ignorance, just like two parties are fighting. So there is possibility that in each party there will be some victims. So that is not consolation. After all, the party which gains victory, he is the strong party. So we are fighting with non-Krishna consciousness or godlessness. So sometimes from our party there may be some victims. That is not extraordinary, that is quite natural. But that does not mean this movement will fail. It will go on.
Well, of course, in all human endeavors, regardless of what it may be, there are human frailties that must be overcome.
Yes, there are human frailties. That we are guarding against, four principles, that one should not take to illicit sex, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication. These four principles will save him. Just like a diseased man, when being treated, he has to accept some do's and some do-nots. So that is natural. So these are the do-nots. And there are do's also. Just we recommend chant 16 down of Hare Krishna mantra. So those who are actually following the do's and do-nots, they are becoming successful.
Well, you can understand why those that follow this man on earth, this divine grace, probably in some people's ears it is oversimplified when you have the simple do's and the simple do-nots. But if in this program we have been able to enlighten some of you as to what the Krishna movement is, and when you hear and see these men and women on the streets of America chanting, getting in their There are sounds that are what you might call their dimension. Perhaps enlighten some of you as to what the Krishna movement is. Or we hope that this program has been instrumental in serving as a form of education as what Krishna
yes.
is.
Yes.
Now, before we have the group that's with us for this recording, give us the dimension that they preach and chant form on the streets of America. Perhaps you might like to tell some of those listening some points that we may not have touched upon, Your Divine Grace.
No, I think you have touched all the points, and I have answered you duly.
Well, we have tried, and now if we can prevail upon the students and the disciples that are with us at this recording, we're going to pick up a typical sound that is heard over and over again throughout America. Since we're not on television, you won't see their eyes closed and their, what some might term a trance which they're in, but it's their own dimension, their own peace and contentment that is displayed from within. So we will ask them to sing for us and we will close. Well, we shouldn't say sing, we should say chant. Is that right, Your Divine Grace?
Yes, singing and chanting the same thing.
And they're very happy people, too. I wish we could show you the picture of His Divine Grace, a man in his 70s who perhaps is young, more so than many of us that are really much older. So shall we close with the next 2 or 3 minutes of the Hare Krishna song, or chant, or melody? I thought I could fade it out, but I didn't. Would one of you good people take my picture with His Divine Grace out of my... I have a in my bag there.
Do you know how that works?
Yeah, I'll fix
it
for
exactly
you.
It's exactly the same.
It's the same. It's an instant.
Just
and
cute.
I need a kit.
Get my flashbulb to
work. Oh, I'm fine. Is it
a battery?
It could... Are you one with or without a battery?
I have a battery.
Yeah, well, this is the kind that doesn't require it. And if you would, Mrs. Gary, I'll say... If you will get us in the little square, I'd appreciate it, because I'd like to remember this visit.
Smile.
I will smile, which is great. That's all I'm saying. Now get us all, but be sure we're in there.
Where is the snap?
It's right here in front. Right there. And it's good to have met you, and I wish you...
Thank you.
Krishna, I should say Krishna speed. Is that right?
Yeah.
One more, just for the road.
I don't know how you talk about it.
Did, Gary, did we do... Thanks, you see, because of this disciple, I was able to interview you in a positive way. What do you say, Gary?
Yes, you mentioned that he was going back in you, but actually I thought he was coming from you.
Oh, well, that's a detail which won't make any difference, will it?
Maybe.
I shall request you to convince your big man to understand this philosophy.
Yeah.
It will be great help to your country.
And well, have you had any audience with any of our large politicians?
No,
have you been
no,
heard?
No, no. If you can arrange, it will be great.
Oh, well, I cannot, but I can only hope that... thank you. I can only hope that what we said here will be digested and listened with favor. Because, as I said to your people, we only do a positive...
Yes,
you see. Like we do in India.
Thank you.
All right?
Very good.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like my lady friend to see him if she may. Could she?
Beg his garden.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, your.
Hey.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, you can come in. Where is
she? Have her, I don't know if she's out with her little dog, but perhaps you could have her come in and see him.
Yes, hello.
Her name is Barbara.
What
some might term